Okay, this meeting will now come to order. This is a special meeting of the Pacifica National Board. We have a quorum, and we also have the managers of the five stations on the call with us and some of the LSB chairs. Is that someone joining?
No.
No. Okay. So the purpose of this special meeting is to develop a documents policy that is reasonable, that takes into account the legal rights of all parties, and that allows us to move forward and do the business of Pacifica. And what we're developing today is a temporary operating policy. We'll revisit this at our regular board meeting in June. The background to this meeting is some conflict between PNB directors and national staff concerning the rights of directors and the practical and legal liability issues of supplying the documents. And that same conflict is mirrored by delegates to the LSBs and the station staff. We have some legal opinions by Kevin Fink and David Horn. One of them is that PNB members have a strong and broad right to the documents for the purpose of carrying out their duties. As directors, we don't have the right to publish or to bandy about certain types of information, including personnel information, pending or threatened litigation, specific donor information, and Arbitron information. It's also the opinion of the lawyers that salary information should be made available to Pacifica National Board members. The lawyers also say that from a business and liability perspective, it makes sense to encourage people associated with Pacifica to work through appropriate channels. And they say that with regard to members of the National Board, although the foundation can recommend a procedure and standards for information requests, directors have a legal right to request information apart from those procedures. They also say the staff is not entitled to resist an information request from a director on the grounds that the director failed to follow the preferred request procedure, although the board is entitled to question a director regarding the failure to follow any foundation policy. The memo by Kevin Fink goes into details about the rights of directors versus delegates. He says that delegates have no more rights than members of the organization, but their duties require them to have access to certain types of documents to make informed decisions. So the decision about which documents should be released to delegates rests with us, the Pacifica National Board. And finally, we have several proposals and opinions that have been sent out through email, including the attorneys, Dan Coughlin's, Dave Adelson's, and Ambrose Lane. And I am, you know, I'd like to have a bit of a discussion before we entertain any motions. The way this call is, the agenda is set up is that Dan and Lonnie have a brief opportunity to say something about this, and then we'll hear from each station manager for about 2 minutes on the problems that they have had.
Marty, so, this is Dave Adelson. Can I ask a question about the process?
Dave.
Who is this? Dave Adelson from KPFK.
Okay.
You said you don't want any motions put forth until we can have some discussion, but would it be useful to have the proposals at least read so that people can hear them, so that in the discussion they can address them if they care to?
Well, I think that would take some time. Let's play it by ear for a, let me ask if people have read, if there's anyone who has not read the proposals that have gone around in the email.
Marty, this is Donna.
I
don't think I've seen all the proposals.
I haven't either.
Neither have I.
I think that
my email that it didn't get through because of the virus.
Okay.
So I did get Adelson, excuse me, David, and I think I got Ambrose. Those were the only two. If there are any other ones, I have not seen them.
Could please everybody talk a little louder? It's very difficult to hear you.
This is Mark Roberts with PFW. I have read all of the proposals, but I really like the idea of discussing the issue first. I don't want to frame our discussion around two proposals.
I feel the same, and I'm going to rule that we'll first have discussion, and then we'll see where we are in regard to reading the proposals, or one proposal in particular.
Mari, can I ask a question? This is Miguel.
Yes.
My question in reference, I thought that I saw two proposals already, David Edison and Ambrose, and I heard that Carlos Spoon also has a proposal. I haven't seen that.
Okay.
This is Carol Spooner. One issue, following the general managers being given, I saw the agenda 2 minutes each, which is pretty short, but to state some of their issues, I would like to suggest that the LSG chairs who are on the meeting call
also have 2 minutes.
Have 2 minutes each.
Right, and they will. Thank you. Okay, let's get started.
Marty, this is Alice Shields. Yes, may I just ask a question? Zarina Shakir is not on the line, is she?
Yes, she is.
Oh, thank
yes.
you. Okay.
Okay.
Good, thank you.
All right, so Dan and Lonnie, 2 minutes, please.
Thanks, Marty, and thanks to the board for holding this conference call at the request of not just myself but of the staff, and to collectively hearing our concerns, greatly appreciated. I want to highlight four specific areas which I believe have serious policy implications for the network. Number one, of course, is the volume of information requests that have overwhelmed staff throughout the network. Number two is that staff and trade unions around the network are very concerned about the privacy rights of Pacifica workers, as well as the privacy rights of members and donors. We do worry about the legal liability that arises from the misuse of confidential information. Some staff and union members even worry that this information might be used against them to bring adverse employment action. The third critical point, I think, that arises from this issue of network liabilities around individual director and delegate information requests is the issue that have just recently surfaced and prompted my call for this meeting, which is that two national board members have recently threatened to sue the Pacifica Foundation because they believe they have an absolute right to institutional information. I know that none of us want to go through expensive legal conflicts. In fact, it is our obligation as directors and officers to correct this situation and to put the network back on a path of collaboration and cooperation. In this spirit, I'm pleased about the legal opinion that has been forwarded to the foundation, to the board, for the board's review, and I do recommend that the board adopt that as a policy and guidelines moving forward. The CFO, the administrative council, and I will also have specific suggestions for you all later on.
Time's up.
And finally, I want to say that I am concerned about what appears to be a growing adversarial relationship between and even threatened job terminations and retaliatory action taken by some directors and delegates against staff, labor unions,
time
and others
up,
over
okay.
information demand.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Lonnie.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to speak as a CFO and an officer of the board and make some specific proposals. I'm identifying three serious issues that I think we as a board and officers have to address. The first is, of course, on the information and director's inspection rights and the issue of whether those rights are absolute. My view is that we have in hand some advice from our attorneys, and that we move to operationalize and receive that document formally as a board for review and for adoption, if at least on an interim basis. The second area is in the area of the issue of litigation, because what we have is a situation where we are under threat of litigation around this issue of rights. And it's expensive. I'm bringing to the board's attention that The number of times the attorneys have been consulted, already we spent $5,000 or $6,000 in this area, going back and forth to the attorney. This needs to be controlled. We cannot just spend money. Last area is on the area of fiduciary responsibility on part of board members and delegates. We need to have a committee that will look into a code of conduct for the board as recommended by the attorney and delegates and staff, and we need to do a special committee. I'm recommending that we do that today. There's no reason not to, and we make it a collaborative committee, board, staff, and other interested parties. So I'm suggesting three special committees. One to deal with the staff issues, which is a part of the record with the staff concerns letter. One to deal with board conduct, and the other to deal with the director inspection rights.
All right. Thank you, Lon.
I didn't hear that last
time. I'm suggesting three committees, that one deals with the staff issues that have been raised, and that it be voluntary, include both directors, staff, and other interested parties, and that we include a second committee on board of conduct, including sanctions, because the lawyer has also recommended that. And the third is we operationalize the information issues because, again, our attorneys have given us an interim document. I'm hoping the board will adopt, and that we need to operationalize that we have the three back at the June board. That would be my proposal.
Okay. Thank you, Lonnie. Now, I'd like to hear now, I believe, from the LSB chairs, and then we'll hear from the managers, and then we'll begin our discussion.
Can I ask that we hear the office hear from the general managers first?
Yeah, I support that. General manager first.
Marty, this is Ray.
Yes, Ray.
Could we ask for clarification at some point before, you know, the thing gets too far back?
Yes,
and
please be brief.
And a technical point, I said it before, but I'll say it again. If people could mute themselves when they're not speaking, the amount of background noise is making it very, very hard to hear. So anyone who can do that, it would be really helpful.
Yeah. We don't want to hear glasses of water being poured, okay? All right. What is your point of clarification, Ray?
Well, actually, I wanted to know from them. I know that the point that he mentioned about WBAI LSB delegates asking for membership data, I know it's listed in the growing, you know, the level of information rather than the type of information.
We're going to get to that.
Okay.
Let's not go there right this minute.
That's fine. As long as we get approaching it.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get there.
Okay.
Okay. Let's start with. Jim Bennett from KPFA, please.
Right, thank you. I actually want to read a letter that I, as my input, that I received from William B. Harvey, who is the Secretary Treasurer of KPFA CWA Local Union 9415, that I received yesterday. Dear Jim, I am writing to protest in the strongest possible terms the behavior of some members of the new local station board towards KPFA staff, members of CWA Local 9415. In the past few weeks, there has been a series of intolerable incidents. A board member singled out individual staff, pointing her finger at them and publicly telling them whom she liked and whom she did not. Another board member called staff brainwashed, claimed that they had a slave mentality, and defamed the CWA by branding us a boss's union. Staff have been yelled at and sworn at, ruled your A, expletive deleted for webcast, out of order, that's some stupid S, expletive deleted because of the webcast in public meetings, dismissed as irrelevant, denounced as entrenched, and interested only in preserving their jobs. These incidents amount to a pattern of mistreatment and harassment of staff by some members of the board and have created intolerable working conditions for union members. As general manager of KPFA, it is your job to ensure a safe working environment in which staff can perform their job duties free from hostile interference by management. Thus, I am writing to demand that you curb this abusive behavior. Each of the incidents I have cited is documented and was witnessed. We are considering filing a formal grievance in this matter. We are also exploring other options should this behavior continue. Once again, the abuse of KPFA staff and union members by some members of the local station board must be brought to a halt immediately. Sincerely, William B. Harvey, Secretary Treasurer, CWA Local 9415.
Okay, thank you, Jim.
A point of information or something, Marty.
This is Roger, the secretary.
Yes.
Can anybody who reads something like that say if they wouldn't mind emailing it to me so I could have the actual text put in to the record, unless you don't want it there.
Roger, can you give me your email?
RogerManning@yahoo.com.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Duane.
Okay. Hi. Thanks. I'd like to just follow up on Dan and Jim's information with also reading a letter to you all that illustrates part of this volume of info requests that we're receiving here at the station. This is from one of the members of our local station board. Dear Duane, as chair of the Legal Affairs Committee, I am officially requesting copies of all current KPFT employment handbooks, manuals, and policy and procedure memoranda, and all previous iterations of the same back to January 1st of 1998. This includes but is not limited to such things as how employee grievances have been or are handled, as well as training, policies, procedures, and protocols relating to defamation and other potential risk-producing acts by staff and others associated with KPFT. Since I'm also concerned about the building meeting city code and the associated potential liability for KPFT and Pacifica, could you provide copies of all citations, inspections, etc., and a summary of all permits issued by the city in the last, say, 5 years? I'd like a copy of all E&O policies of insurance and copies of all claims there under, if any, for the past 10 years. I'd like a list, description, parties, status of all litigation, whether KPFT is or was a plaintiff or defendant for the last 10 years, and a list, description, parties, and status of all claims or threatened claims for the same time period. There will likely be more things we need later, and if you can think of any other potential liabilities that need looking at by the committee, please share them. Can you give me an ETA for getting this stuff so I can set the first meeting of this new and important committee? Dana Andrew Lejeune.
Okay.
I think that's all I need to say.
All right. Thank you, Duane. Ava.
Yes, greetings, everyone. This is a statement on behalf of the Administrative Council of Pacifica. Pacifica's historical elections represent a major victory for media democracy in the United States, for all of us. Many committed media activists who have struggled to save Pacifica from corporate takeover were elected to the board and have brought new energy and vitality to the network. However, in the eagerness and enthusiasm to rectify the wrongs of the past and to carry out duties and responsibilities as directors and delegates, many members of the LSBs have exhibited a tendency, and some have even articulated a desire to micromanage local station operations. Over the past few weeks, the management and staff at all five stations have been bombarded with demands and requests for a wide range of station information and for reports to the various committees that have been established by the local station boards. Some board members are calling for investigations into alleged malfeasance. Others are threatening legal action against the network. These demands and threats have generated a confrontational and adversarial tone that does not bode well for harmonious staff-board relationships. Many staff members feel besieged and intimidated, as one staff member at WI have put it jokingly. We feel like we are the Fallujah of Pacifica. Our jobs are being threatened. Management is being asked to report regularly to management evaluation committees, even though the bylaws merely call for an annual written evaluation of the general manager and the program director. The working conditions for both management and staff are becoming intolerable. If the situation is not brought under control quickly, we fear that this could escalate into a public relations disaster for the network as we work towards our spring fund drive. And we are looking to build relationships and trust amongst the board, the staff, and the LSBs to enable us to continue with the success that we've had with Pacific
Time Stop.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Eva. Don Rojas, are you on
the here? Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you for the opportunity to participate in this very important discussion. I will continue the statement that Eva began to read, since this statement represents the Administrative Council. What is needed is a set of protocols that govern communications between staff and boards. But more importantly, we need to replace the climate of confrontation and mistrust with one of collaboration, collegiality, and mutual respect throughout the Pacifica Network, an organization that is publicly identified as a defender of peace, social justice, and workers' rights. While we support and recognize the governing board's rights of access to station information, many of the requests that we have received to date, especially in the areas of confidential personnel information and donor data, if complied with, will expose both this board and senior staff of the foundation to serious legal liability. All information that does not carry legal risk, however, will be made available once communications protocols have been set up. Over the course of our careers, some of us have had the opportunity to work in senior executive positions for major nonprofits like the NAACP and the National Urban League. And not once did we find the need to complain about micromanagement by the boards of these organizations. It was understood and respected by all that the board sets policies and strategic directions, and the staff manages the day-to-day operations of the organization in accordance with their job descriptions. Finally, as members of the Administrative Council of this network, we urge the board to support the proposal for establishing 3 working committees representing all the stakeholders of Pacifica to address the growing crisis as put forward by the CFO. We also wish to take this opportunity to reaffirm our to work cooperatively with the LFBs and with the PNB in the weeks and months ahead. Like you, we also are dedicated to enhancing democracy and transparency throughout Pacifica, and we will continue to employ our skills and energy to growing and strengthening this network as a force for peace, justice, and fairness in America and in the world.
Okay, thank you, Don. Ron Pinchback.
Hello, everybody. Once again, thanks for the opportunity to address the board. My concerns are very, very simple. Pacifica stands for a lot of things in the eyes of our listeners. The one thing it definitely stands for is the opportunity to work collaboratively with people of similar ideas to, you know, make this country and this world of ours a better place. When we engage in witch hunts and accusations and finger pointing and things like that, it does nothing to further the mission, you know, of this network. In fact, it takes it backwards. One of the things that we cannot afford is to do that. We came out of the election with very, very positive results. We've got very, very positive reviews from our listeners regarding the election, and they expect us to act like Pacifica, not like the Republicans, not like the Democrats. They expect us to act like Pacificans, people who work to get along with one another and to move the network forward. That is the bottom line to me. And whatever occurs in this discussion and these debates, we must stay mindful of that. You know, we are the only network out there addressing the needs of our communities. We, meaning the managers, are just as dedicated and just as interested in moving these things along as board members. So I say, please, let's all work in the spirit of cooperation, in the spirit of Pacifica, to move each station and our communities, because that's what we're talking about, how to better serve our communities. And it's not being served by witch hunts and overwhelming demands that management or anybody else for that matter can't do and still do their jobs as well.
Okay, thank you, Ron. Now, we'd like to hear from the LSB chairs who are present. Let's start with Reva.
Okay, I'll start.
I'm sorry, can the people mention where the station they're from?
KPFA.
Speaking.
This is Reva, the local station board chair from KPFA. First of all, the good news is that, to my understanding, our station requests for documents have been met. So, again, my understanding is there has not been a problem at our station level for document requests. The letter that Jim Bennett just read from our staff union is new to me, and frankly, it doesn't appear specifics to document requests, so I don't really understand how it fits with this agenda, but on some level it's reflective that there's inadequate communication in terms of documents, because I haven't seen that document, and I would think in the interest of fairness, it would have been helpful for me as LSB chair to have known of that letter and seen that letter from the union, that there are such problems between LSB members and staff and threats of litigation. So on some level, it's illustrative of a greater problem of lack of communication of documents. However, up until this moment, I haven't known of any problem with sharing of document requests.
Okay. Thank you very much, Reba.
Yes.
Let's hear from Don White of KPFK.
Thank you very much. The local station boards as committees of the PNB will look to the PMB for clarity around our work, but we're also given certain mandates and responsibilities by the bylaws. We're committed here at this LSB to work cooperatively and collaborate very respectfully with management, with the PNB, with everyone. I would say in the KPFK signal area, we're moving fairly slowly because we don't want to step on landmines and we don't want to precipitate what apparently some believe is happening. We are developing infrastructure and committees, and those committees will, to fulfill their mandates, actually be asking for information, so we need really guidance on how to do that. In areas like budget, where the LSBs play a major role at the local signal area, we need specific information. We're willing to sign confidentiality agreements if that's necessary. We're an elected entity, and this period is very different from the period of the last. And I think everyone has to kind of internalize that the LSBs do have very specific responsibilities. The 24 members of the LSB in the KPFK signal area want to serve and fulfill their responsibilities. They're seen by our listener sponsors as part of a democratization, and that we do want to ensure real participation and fulfilling our responsibilities. We'll be asking the PNB to further clarify exactly what our responsibilities are as a committee of the PMB. And I would just say that in the democratization process, we must see the LSBs as a key role, because the thousands of voters who went to the polls and elected the 24 members expect us to play a governance role. And what we're looking for now is the roadmap.
Okay. Thank you, Don. And finally, Mike Martin.
Yes, thank you again for the opportunity to participate in the meeting. My, where are you from? Houston, KPFC Houston, LSB. And I'm kind of here to defend the request by my committee, our legal committee, and our governance committee is investigating some of these issues. The spirit of what we're attempting to accomplish at KPFC LSB is basically two things. One, to meet our fiduciary responsibility for the performance evaluation of management. And two, to secure a satisfactory feeling that the station is within the operation of the law with the standpoint of all federal regulatory issues as well as employment practice issues. So the spirit of our request is to make sure we have a process or a policy or a procedure in place that makes sure the station is operating within the limits of the law and allows us to fairly and adequately execute our responsibilities for performance evaluation of management. What we want to do is identify and reduce legal risk to the station by ensuring that there is presence of procedures and policies that are in compliance with the law and the Pacifica bylaws.
Excuse me, Mike, the secretary here. What was the first? You had two items there, two goals. What was the first goal?
One, to make sure we're discharging our fiduciary responsibility for performance evaluation of our staff.
Okay.
And second, that we're operating within the law.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Has Bertolt joined us from WBAI? Okay, if he comes on, we'll try to give him an opportunity to present his 2 minutes. We'll see how this goes.
And what about Jim from PFW?
We've heard he could not be here, Mark said. that correct? The PFW LSB chair is not present. In
yes, I wasn't.
Put this in because of time.
Yeah, I just got it today, right.
Yeah. Okay. So,
Marty, I'm sorry. Can you give me the it was Reva from KPFA?
Right. Reva, what's your last name?
N-T, and that's E-N-T-E-E-N.
And you're the chair?
Yes.
And then Don White is chair?
Yes, I had to leave the line for just a moment, but I'm back.
Okay, Don White, chair of KPFK LSB.
Thank you.
And Mike Martin, you know him. Okay.
Yes, thanks.
All right, and PFW couldn't be here, the LSB chair, and Bertold from WBAI may join us later. So, I think we have the polls of these opinions laid out before us. And I'll entertain a discussion. Let's try to just talk generally for 15 or 20 minutes, and then we'll try to hone in on what we need to do here.
Madam Chair, it's Alice. Two minutes apiece?
Yes, Alice. 2 minutes apiece. And you're the timer.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Is it possible for us to just go in roll call order to speak? Because I think that everyone's going to want to chime in, and it just seems that it would be more organized if we all just had 2 minutes rather than the first person who's able to speak.
Yeah,
that's okay with me. If you don't wish to speak, just say that, and we'll go on. How does that sound?
That sounds good.
All right, let's, Roger, do you want to?
Dave Adelson.
Excuse me?
Adelson's first.
Okay. Well, I guess I'd like to cut through some of the language and say that I think there's an ongoing conflict over who's going to have what oversight and who's going to have what power, frankly. And that seems to me to be the real question. I feel like a lot of that question is getting submerged, and we should just be frank about it. I personally would like to see on the information request side, as I said in my proposal that I put around, a clearinghouse, a place where we can see what the flow of information is. So, for example, when Duane reads a list that does seem exhaustive, I know that in the early part of that list he read, I was saying, well, they should absolutely have that. And I think that any of the procedures that shape over time what the relationship and the power sharing is within the network, they're going to take time to develop. And as they're developing, we should have a sort of iterative process to work out what can be efficient for all concerned, what can respect everybody's rights, but also respect their responsibilities. So as people have seen, I'm going to be proposing that the coordinating committee serve as a clearinghouse for this request so that we can mediate and discuss requests. And when things are overwhelming, as has been described, we can say, well, let's take a certain amount of time to do that. But there are some things that really can be fulfilled quickly, and they should be. And I think both sides of this are going to have to do some work to show good faith and a real effort to meet each other's genuine concerns. And to the extent we do that, we're going to have more success in dealing with each other as we build some trust.
Okay, good afternoon. Bertold joining in the conference.
Oh, okay. Bertold. Let's have Bertold's comments then now, because we're so close to
Marty, this is Ray.
Yes,
can we ask questions? For example, I had a slight clarification I had from Dave. Can we do that after? You prefer that we wait, or let me ask the question
I'd prefer
my own
that time. You wait, Ray.
Okay.
Let's have Bertold give us 2 minutes, Bertold, on your point of view as the LSB chair of WBAI.
Chair of WBAI,
on my office's call.
I have a very good relationship with the general manager. However, I feel that process-wise, there is a problem with the whole way this network was functioning for the past 20 years. And we need to have access to information, which was not part of the culture of WBAI or the network. And I feel that Dan Coughlin's request is, as Dave said, it reflects a deeper situation of mistrust between, the board members and the staff. And we have to be honest about it and put everything on the table. You know, there are always these two tendencies of the board members being accused of being micromanagers. which can also be used as an excuse to just keep us from managing. So we have to be very honest about that. The board will serve as a group of people who are going to be supporting the network and do fundraising, but also we're going to have a governance job, which is to oversee and approve budget and things like that. So therefore, we need full access to the network's information. And we do need that because we do approve the budgets, and we are responsible for the functioning of the station. And we are actually, you know, the employers of Dan Coughlin, the general managers, when it comes down to it at the end. And therefore, you know, we should have access to full information. I would like to know what it is that the National Board is doing in a full disclosure of the national office to understand why is it that they have such a backlog or issue with getting information to us. And personally, my relationship with Don Rojas has been he was always willing to give us information, but sometimes he had to double-check with the national to see if the policies were in line with being more open. And then, you know, we are free speech community radio station. We pride ourselves on being open, and I think we should do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, we've heard from Dave. Let's go down the list of other PNB members, please.
Okay, next would be Teresa Allen.
I would just like to say that rather than Lonnie's proposal that we have three committees, or if you want to say that's Dan's proposal, I think that taking this issue up with the coordinating committee rather than creating three other committees makes a lot of sense. And I think it's a little frustrating to me that that when we have it sounds like Dana Lejeune as chair of the litigation committee with KPFT was perhaps a little over-enthusiastic in his letter for the catalog of things that he wanted. But on the whole, I think that it should be noted that if you approach the chair of the board and say, you know, can we work with you, that's better than making an accusation that we're just really over the top. Maybe one person might be overprotective or trying to be overly thorough, but on the whole, give the LSBs and give the PNB the benefit of the doubt. And I think we're trying to give the staff the benefit of the doubt on the whole. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next, Roger?
I'm sorry, I'm typing. Barely. Okay. Henry Cooper's next.
Okay. I believe that I think that it would be necessary for the PMB to control how the flow of the information is going to be given, because we can obstruct actually the operation of our stations if we're going to overflow with requests of documentation that cannot be provided as fast as we would like to. And I believe that the proposal to have the coordinating committee as the clearinghouse in order to revise all the information that is going to be requested, it is viable for the PMB. However, on the particular stations, I believe that it should be the local LSB, the one that controls what kind of information is going to be requested to each manager. I didn't know how the load of requests that was going to be asking our legal committee, and when we agreed to give them free hand to ask for documentation, we didn't realize how much all this in time would be consuming. So I believe that we can go with the coordinating committee as a clearinghouse, but also leaving the LSBs in order to control all that flow of information.
Okay, thank you, Henry.
I guess we're skipping over the chair to
Sam,
who's not here, right?
Right.
And then Sonali is next.
Oh, Sonali next?
Yes. That's correct.
Okay. I'd like to actually ask Dan a question. You mentioned labor unions and trade unions in your statement, and you read that letter. Aside from KPFA's union, are there any other labor unions that have submitted similar concerns?
Is the question addressed to me?
Dan, yes.
Oh, Dan Coughlin, sorry.
Dan Coughlin. Are there any other labor unions aside from KPFA's?
Sanala, this is Dan?
Yes.
Yeah, we don't have any official written documentation from any other union at this point.
Except for KPFA. I think there's a confusion between legitimate concerns of unionized staff and harassment, or whatever you want to call it, of unionized staff from anybody, from various, you know, whether it's board members or the public or whatever, and information requests. And I'm actually not sure why those two have been lumped together. And I also would like to ask all of us to distinguish between staff, who I think I can assume are unionized or unpaid, and managers who are at-will employees. So when you say staff, who exactly are you talking about?
Yeah, Sonali, just to answer your question quickly, the information requests are for personnel files frequently. So that does often involve union issues. So that's why it comes up within the context of an information request.
So there are personnel. There should be no information requests for any personnel files except for people who are being evaluated, which include the program directors, the GMs, and the executive director.
We do get a request for information around personnel files outside of that context as well.
Okay, I suppose for finance issues.
No.
I guess I'm not so clear. I'm not clear why there are personnel, you know, the requests for personnel files. Okay, I think I'm done.
All right. Thank you, Sonali. Next, Roger.
Ray LaForest.
Yes, I think it's a very important meeting indeed. Clearly, some of the issues have to do with a normal tension, something like between the executive and the legislative branches, let's say. But there's also, at least at WBAI, there's a notion in some people's mind that they should be able to run the station. And I personally disagree with that. I think that our role as local board is to look at the quality of program recommendation, and besides evaluating station manager and program director, and looking at the finances. I remember that when the IPMB was around, there was a member, particularly egregious behavior from a PFW member, who went in there, you know, acting as though this was his daddy's factory or something like that. But aside of those issues, I hope we can resolve them. I think that there are two levels of their clearly legitimate requests from the national board, and I think this prerogative rests with the national board, not every delegate. And I think we say clearly that we encourage people's participation in unions, and therefore we have to respect the contract that protects them and represents them. And I think that also we have to act within, you know, what is proper. That being said, I'm interested in like others, I didn't receive Dan's proposal. Dave Ederson's proposal, but based on what I heard, I like some of it, and I'd like to be able to ask some questions about that at the appropriate moment.
Okay, thanks, Ray. Does anyone have any idea what that is?
Somebody just in the call, was it somebody who just joined the call? Who has a lot of background noise?
No, is it on the radio back there?
Who's got the radio on?
Well, whoever, please.
Thank you. Ambrose is not on yet, right?
Ambrose Lane, are you with us? No.
Okay, Miguel Maldonado's next.
Okay. Oh, hi. Well, first of all, Miguel Maldonado for WBI. I would like the people to understand where we as Pacifica group are coming from. We are coming from a situation in the past that we were denied any access to any kind of information. So when I heard some complaint by some board or directors that they were not getting even a response from Dan Coughlin, I started freaking out, because the experience that we have in Pacifica, and I thought that in some points, since I know Dan Coughlin, I thought that he somehow, even if he refused to give the document, he's going to talk to some of those people and trying to, I don't know, come to some kind of understanding and how to solve this problem. But I want to express a concern here in terms of the if you check most of his answer for the general manager, it's basically like the same thing, which is, I think, is a mistake, because it's not the same situation in KPFA that and WBAI. And to me, or the KPFK, when Dan Rojas finished reading the document, which is like, what is going on? So the whole administrative council, which is, I don't know, I would like to see who is member of that, and that's the only staff, or that's general managers, or is the national staff, or they saw the staff from the local station as well.
Okay.
So I just want to express my concern on that, that really some people don't try to act like they own Pacifica, because Pacifica doesn't belong to anybody. It belongs to all of us as equal.
Thank you. Dan, do you want to clarify the administrative staff, or just tell me if this is right? It's the
Administrative Council.
Administrative Council. It's the ED, the CFO, and the managers of the station?
Generally speaking, yes. Senior staff from around the network.
Excuse me, Dan, doesn't it include all
Who's
the
this?
Unit managers, that is the archives as well?
Who's speaking?
Dave Adelson.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So is that correct that it is the five general managers, the archives director, the CFO, and the executive director?
Yes, I'll send you the job. I'll send the board the job description, the job description for the administrative council.
A point of clarification, was the staff concerns letter that Dan sent out also from the Administrative Council or from specifically the five GMs, the CFO, and the ED? Because I didn't see the Archives Director's name on there.
Yes, the five GMs, the CFO, and the ED.
So it wasn't from the Administrative Council, but rather the seven of you?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
When was the Administrative Council started?
Who's speaking?
This is
Teresa. When was it begun?
Can you answer that, Dan? When the Administrative Council came into being?
Are you talking to...
talking to Dan Coughlin.
Oh, the Administrative Council has been around since as long as I can remember, at least, I think, 15 years or so. Jim
okay.
Bennett may have a better institutional memory than I do.
Thank you.
Could we go back to calling on people? In
yes, life? We're going back. Okay, we've heard from Miguel.
I just saw.
Who's
okay,
next?
Roger Manning's next.
Okay, Roger.
Being me. I'm sorry, I'm a disorganized here because I'm trying to type. But it seems one of the key issues here is communication. The more we find out about what the other person's thinking or saying or wanting, or the more we find out the facts, the less upset we get to be a lot of the time. And it's my understanding that the executive director, for whatever reason, you know, being too busy or what, who knows, wasn't getting back to people in a timely manner. Like Miguel said, it causes people to have a sort of gut reaction that's negative. And when people are making information requests that seem burdensome, somebody else suggested, maybe there's some more communication over that, like, hey, this is pretty big, and we it's going to take some time to put all this together for you, or why do you need all this? More communication would help. I've been looking at the proposals that from Dave Adelson and Ambrose and Dan and the lawyer, and my concern is that, you know, I hate to see too much bureaucracy and obstacle in the way of a director getting information in a timely manner. And I think Dave Adelson's proposal actually makes a pretty good effort at addressing that. But I'm still, turned off by having to have complex procedures. I'd hope to have a simpler procedure for getting the information, but that may not be possible.
Okay, thank you, Roger.
Kalonji is next, after somebody turns off the radio.
Okay.
Marty, this is Dob. Would you please instruct whoever keeps turning on the radio and they know who they are to stop doing that?
Kalonji here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Kalonji. Please, folks, can you put the receiver to your ear and not put it on a speakerphone and try to get rid of extraneous noise?
Has everyone had an opportunity since Ambrose has not been able to get in to read his presentation as well?
No, they're still going. I'm sorry, Marty. I'm waiting to be heard. Just stop.
Okay, Donna. I thought it was gone. Is it gone?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry, Kalonji.
I
don't think everyone has read it, but,
I was wondering,
but many of us have.
He asked that it be, you know, someone else offer it in case he was unable to get on the line.
Okay. Well, we'll do that after everyone has spoken.
Okay. Well, let me just go from that point because, you know, we're just gaining our footing, and we were elected to remedy whatever inconsistencies were allowed to grow or fester while we were struggling to regain the stations, to regain Pacifica. The repair needed will require respect of those working toward that repair, and that respect has to be earned. And so I think we've got to have some patience because some of the rumors, some of the things that have gone on may make everyone put in the period a system where they don't quite trust one another. You know, and so patience is required to gain that trust. And that engenders the respect we need to work together. We have a problem. It differs a bit in each station. But in order to remedy those problems as they may differ in each station, we've got to also remember that we have moved towards what we thought would be more transparency. And so whatever system we develop should be a system that allows all those folks who are charged and elected to help with that repair to have some understanding of what's going on and where it's going on and how it's going on. And I think we've got to, you know, that's why I'm here, I know, is because I was elected to help with that kind of transformation. And so I'm just saying we've got to be a little patient, but we also got to understand that we can't put too many kind of barriers and blockages in our collective oversight of the station. That's all.
Thank you, Kalonji. Roger, who's next?
Marcel.
Who?
Sarv.
Randhawa.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you very much. Well, I tell you, the way somebody's got noisy radio back there.
That's just a siren.
I think the problem I see it is we have inherited a structure and it needs new culture. It needs a culture of collaboration and a training in resolving small conflicts that come in our way from day-to-day basis. And we also have to recognize that there is a difference between governance and management. We have, as a governing body, we have a mandate to carry on, and the management should not impede that. At the same time, management of the station that we hire, it also has a tremendous responsibility so that it works with the governance body to make sure that it carries on its mission. So it's a... And the only way we can do that if we are respectful of one another and do not try to put demands that are out of reason, and we show some sensitivity and communication. I was elected simply on that basis that I'll try to see how we can move away from our conflicts of the past so that we can put our energies into making this network and the station one of the best in the world. And I'll continue to do that. Thanks.
Thank you, Sarv.
Mark Roberts.
Okay. I want to say that I came to Pacifica initially as a fan, and excuse me, I'm working very hard to remain that. I think it's clear that in the past and possibly in the present, there have been some board members who have treated Pacifica as a private playground, but I think the same can be said of station management, particularly when it relates to the key areas, which to me are financial information, salary information, and proprietary information such as listenership data. I've looked at the proposals that have been put forward to deal with remedy, and my concern is I do not like the idea of the coordinating committee serving as a sort of super committee clearinghouse for all information access. I think it should serve as an adjudicator in times of dispute. Having said that, then, my suggestion would be that we would lean on the committee chairs, both at the board level and at the LSB level, which at my last count was about 16, 8 each, in order to deal with request for information. I do believe that the committee chair should not be able to override, or a committee majority should not be able to override the request for that information. So we deal with the question of, you know, the difficulty if someone wants something and they say, well, no, I don't think you should have that. I think the committee chair should have to put forward any informational request that is made by a director on that in that committee, and of course by an LSB delegate. However, I think that if the chair believes that this request is faulty, then they should be able to state that as well. I believe that the LSB on the LSB level, those requests should go to the GM, and at the board level, it should go to the ED. I think that there should be a written notice of requiring non-disclosure, and also talking about the penalties for breaching, the consequences of that for both the network and for that individual. I think that when we go to that information, if the GM or the ED feels that it's excessive, then the coordinating committee should be consulted to adjudicate that situation, and if that cannot be resolved there, then we seek independent legal counsel. I also believe that in terms of the mailing list, and this goes to membership rights, I believe that we should always go with alternate means. If someone wants to contact the members, that we should bill them accordingly and as per the legal opinion, and we should deal with it that way, and that we should not hide that information, because I think that's very important, but at the same time, we have to be clear here. We have to be careful. With respect to respecting the time of staff, I think that's something we should all agree to do, but at the same time, staff needs to understand we need information to do our job.
Thanks, Mark. Who's next? Vicki?
I'm sorry, Julie.
Oh,
Rodriguez.
Julie.
I apologize. I've laryngitis right now. but I just wanted to point out that I think part of the issue, and I know that this is very easy for me to say, having not been involved in the bulk of the struggle that went on to take over Pacifica, is that there's a lot of healing that needs to take place in terms of how we begin to function and move forward as a board, as a station, as a foundation, as a network. And I think that there needs to be, a couple of points that previous PMB members have brought up is the issue of trust. I think that we need to establish a sense of trust among one another in order to be able to operate and to function, because if there is mistrust, then we're constantly, I guess, looking over our shoulders and trying to figure out, you know, what people are doing and how things are running. And if we're not operating under a good, safe system, as we should and as we project on over our airwaves, then we're not going to be able to really function as a station, and we're going to dig ourselves into the ground. I think that there definitely needs to be openness. That's, again, as a democratic station, as a listener-sponsored station, we owe that to our members and to our listeners at the very least, but there also is an issue of operations and just enabling the station to function daily, because if we don't allow the station and the managers to be able to function, then we're going to have nothing going on over the airwaves, and we're just going to be fulfilling information requests. So I think that there does need to be a very clear balance and a mechanism and a means for doing that. And I know that none of us like bureaucracy, but I do think that being able to assign, and again, I haven't seen all the proposals, and so I'm not putting this as an endorsement, but if we do assign some sort of committee, as David suggested, or some mechanism that will help to really balance out, again, fulfilling the information request so that we as the board can get our job done, but also understanding and being flexible with the staff time and the day-to-day operations of the station, that seems to me like it would be ultimately in all of our best interests and meet all of our needs. I think the biggest thing that I just want to put forth is that I think we do need to continue to move forward. We are in a very difficult time right now and continuing to be in, and it's very critical that Pacifica continues to have the voice and the significance and the stature that it has in our society and continues to grow, because the more listeners and the more members we gain, the more we're really going to affect change in our communities. And so I guess that's
all I have to say.
Thank you, Julie.
Vicki, Santos next.
Okay. I'd like to echo a little bit of what Julie just said. Building trust is going to take time, but the first thing that it's going to take is intentional action on all our parts to do that. And one of the principles that we operate under at my station is an assumption of good intentions on the part of the people who are involved. We assume that people's intentions are good. So I know how difficult that is going to be for some people who have been involved in this struggle, but changing behavior and changing attitudes means positive action on our part to do that, and a commitment to that on all our parts is going to be required. Directors need access to information, not because we have a legal right to it, not because we have the power to do it, but because we need information to do our jobs. The same goes for the LSB. On the other hand, the station managers and staff have a duty as well as a right to perform their jobs as Pacifica have asked them to do. So some kind of process is going to be required, and I think somewhere between Dave Adelson's coordinating committee with biweekly back and forth and Ambrose's just having it go through the committee chairs to the ED or whatever, somewhere in between there is a process we can adopt and then revisit, not in June, but, 3 months from now, to see how it's working and have that adoption of this now be absolutely reviewed for its ability to move forward those requests and provide that information. We need to see how those requests are being handled, how they're being fulfilled, and we need some kind of a follow-up so that in the event that requests are not being handled, that we have some kind of process in place to make people accountable, because that's what we're talking about here is accountability.
Okay, thank you, Vicki. Gerald.
And Gerald Sanders. Yeah.
Okay, can you hear me? I just took myself off mute.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Yes, we've heard a lot about working cooperatively and collaborating, and that's very interesting. But the fact is that I sent an email around to people, and I hope that they received it, and that was to just, demonstrate how obvious it should be that every director of any corporation, by the way, has, as this corporate code says, the absolute right at any reasonable time to inspect and copy all. I mean, it couldn't be clearer. Now, the question is, so there's something wrong. I don't know. I'm trying to understand what was happening. In fact, I talked to Dan personally the night that Amy Goodman did her little tour in Berkeley. And I had read a little bit on the email line about this stuff, and I didn't understand what was wrong. So I said to Dan, I said, look, I talked to Carol the other day, and she said that in order not to overburden you, she would come in and do the Xeroxing, and all you have to do is show her where it is, and then that's the end of that. And I thought that would be the end of it. Well, obviously it's not. So it's not simply a question of workload. Sometimes there's just a pure, raw fight over authority, power. I used to work with the school board in Oakland, and you know what? These people that were on the school board